So I want to start by setting a little bit of the form or the how this part of the retreat will unfold. It's largely a group discussion. There will be, as I said yesterday afternoon, there will be times where I offer a little bit of a teaching right at this point, and I will actually do that today, just to offer a little bit of a reflection before we move into the sharing. But what I'd like to say is that the sharing is actually, there's a way in which the sharing can be a part of how the learning happens. Your own sharing, not only listening to what others say and how I respond to that. In general, I would like to say that for the safety of the container, when somebody says something, there should be confidentiality in this room, so not to repeat what's said here outside of the room. But also, in this kind of a setting, it's often helpful if you don't respond to something somebody else has said. If somebody has said, oh, I'm looking at this, and you think, oh, this is what I've done, you know, here, yeah, why don't you try this or that? Hold that in and notice the motivation, why you might want to do that. So just let's have that be a practice to not respond directly to what somebody else has said. But the sharing itself, there's a couple of pieces about it. One of the things I want to hear from you, and there's enough of you that we're not going to be able to do, to have everybody do this every day. But I do want to try to keep track of how much each of you has talked during the week so that I can kind of even it out. I'm hoping that everybody will have an opportunity to share at least twice during the week. In the sharing, what I'd like to hear, it's not only about questions here. Yesterday and on Saturday, I was taking questions about the practice, and we may have an opportunity for some of that. But partly what I want to hear is, what are you noticing as you are doing this practice in your daily life? We can also bring in something about what you're noticing in the sittings, but a lot of what I want to create here is a container in which there is a support for bringing this practice off the cushion and into your everyday activities. As I said on Saturday, the instructions are no different whether you're driving a car or sitting in formal meditation, or whether you're chopping vegetables or having a conversation with a colleague or doing formal walking meditation. The instructions are relax, notice that you're aware, and see if you can be aware of what's happening in the moment, and checking in too with the relationship to what's happening. I'm going to drop in a little piece here about that. In particular, in daily life, there's a teaching that Sayadaw Utejaniya offers. Because in daily life, as I've said, if you're trying to be mindful, or if you're trying to focus on something with mindfulness, it's going to be pretty hard to also be, attending to the content of what's happening. This is a big piece of the difference between daily life practice and formal sitting practice. In formal sitting practice, we have the luxury of letting go of content. We don't have to engage with the content when we're in formal sitting practice. We can step aside from the content, notice how it's impacting us, take in body sensations, etc. We can step back from the content. In our daily lives, we have to be engaged with content. And so learning a way, beginning to explore and learn a way to be aware of the content of what's happening, but also aware of how that content is impacting us. Sayadaw Utejaniya sometimes talks about this notion. He says 50-50 awareness, 50-50 mindfulness, 50% of the attention on the what you're doing, what's happening, and 50% of the attention on how you are. So like 50% external, 50% internal. And so 50% on what's going on, 50% on what's happening in here. And that takes some practice. It takes some practice to do that. And at first, it might feel like there's a back and forth. So, 50% of the attention, you might be listening to what somebody's saying. And then just before you speak, recognize, oh, right, what's happening here right before I say something? It might be a little easier to explore that 50-50 awareness, not in conversation at first, not in a dynamic interaction with somebody, but perhaps more in times where you're alone in the kitchen, chopping vegetables or taking care of your morning routine or working on the computer. You know, there may be a way that you can explore that 50-50 mindfulness. And it's not like percentages are not important. It might be 60-40, it might be 80-20. So it's not an exact thing. It's just some percentage of the attention on the content, some percentage of the attention on what is happening for you. So that's something that we'll be exploring during the week, is how we can be aware while engaged in content. The practice of recognizing the returning of mindfulness and that beginning to recognize the mindfulness that kind of just has its own momentum, that kind of mindfulness can more naturally take in what's happening, both the content and how we are. As we start to try to do mindfulness, it gets much harder. And so I often say, you know, it's like, notice those moments of mindfulness returning, take in what you can in that moment, and then just get on with the content. And then notice the next time the mindfulness returns. And over the time, more of those moments will happen, more of that that kind of mindfulness will be available. So in this room, in the describing, what I'd like to have each of you do at some point is describe what you're noticing. Something that you're experiencing, how you're noticing it, what's going on. So what's happening around the practice? So it's kind of like a little description or a report of the practice in relationship to daily life. You can also, if it's really up for you, talk something about or say something about what's happening for you in the sitting practice. That can also be very interesting. So what I like to encourage in this describing or reporting, the part of this practice that can be very powerful in the describing is that I'm going to ask you to keep the emphasis in the description. It's going to be like, you know, maybe 10% content, 90% on what you're noticing of your experience. Or maybe even 5% content, 95% of what you're experiencing. So just enough content to give us just the flavor of what's going on in your daily life situation. Like, I was having a conversation with a coworker, and an event happened that they blamed me for something, and I responded. I felt all of this anxiety come up. I felt some resentment come up. I felt some anger come up. And I noticed I actually started to say things that were very hurtful, and then I became really clearly aware again. And so that kind of description, where the content is not as important as the what you are noticing and how the practice impacted you while you noticed it. So that is a practice in and of itself. It can be, especially if you're new to this, it can be, there's a habitual way that we think we have to tell people the detail of the content in order for people to understand our perspective or what's going on. And that's the piece I'm going to ask you to step back from. Not only because it's helpful, because the content, when people start telling the content or describing the story of, oh, I did this, and I said this, and they said that, and here's the backstory, and, you know, it was the last 2 days, this is what was going on at that work situation, and, you know, so kind of, it's almost like that's a piece of justification, in a way, describing, you know, all of that, that the story of how you got there. And so that actually takes a lot of time, and we don't have that kind of time in this room. So that's one reason it's beneficial, because it it condenses the report. It also keeps the discussion more about the Dharma, more about how the practice is working, more about what you're noticing, what you didn't notice. And then the other piece that's really interesting and helpful that I found as I began to learn how to talk to my teachers in this way, and this really began the first time I went to Burma, when we were very explicitly told, do not talk about the content of your thoughts. Just report your direct experience. And it was hard to learn to do that, and it was very hard. I mean, it's like at one point I reported something like, I experienced something, what did I say? I doubted whether I could do something or something like that. And the teacher got up and started walking around the room. After he sat down, he said to me, don't report the content of your thoughts. So it was a very clear signal, you know. He was not going to pay attention while I was talking about my thoughts. And it took me a while to understand how to report what I wanted to say without saying, this is what I thought. So it's a practice. It's a practice to begin to, so in here it's fine to set enough content, enough of the scenario for us to have a situation. And at times I may ask you a little bit about the situation to get some clarity if I'm not fully understanding what you're describing. Back off on the content and see if you can focus on how you are, what you're noticing. And part of the reason this is so powerful, what I really noticed about this, is that as I began to learn to do this, I began to experience things more from the perspective of how I am and less through the perspective of content, because that was what was valued in my relationship with my teacher. So it created a shift of perspective in my own mind that I began to be more interested in the awareness and what was being experienced than I was in the content. The other thing that I noticed was that as I began experiencing things in that way and exploring or recognizing, I'd, finish a sitting and I would kind of think, well, what did I notice in that sitting? And as I kind of went back over that, kind of framing what I would say to my teacher, I could recognize what my teacher was going to say back to me. Because it's like that framing of things in terms of experience, I began to kind of hear how he responded to things. And as I heard my own mind say, well, I was aware of this, and then recognized that there was something that I hadn't noticed before that. And I could just hear my teacher say, and did you notice how it happened or how it came to be? I was like, oh, no, I didn't notice that part. And so it became a tool, essentially. It became a way in which I began to be able to be my own teacher through this practice of looking at exploring things from this perspective of the experience itself and stepping back from the content. So those are a number of reasons why this is useful. And what I'd like to do for these sessions, I would like to record them, and then we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm putting these up on Audio Dharma as in a retreat, so they're not being podcast. So this is not going out to the world in terms of a podcast. I'll ask each day, do you feel comfortable? Anybody not feel comfortable putting this in the retreat as available to anybody who wants to listen to it who's not here? And if anybody doesn't feel comfortable with that, then there's a way in Audio Dharma that we can create a code that is only available for the people here on the retreat. And so there'll be certain talks that are available to everybody, but this part of the discussion, I'm perfectly happy. And if it seems that there's, I mean, do not hesitate to say, you know, no, I don't want that out there in the world. Don't hesitate to say that. And then we'll just keep them private for essentially this group. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So we'll just say that they're we'll keep them private. Yeah, and that'll help take care of the concerns. So I'll create a code. We'll have a code for that, and you will have the access to the conversation, but nobody else will. So I'm gonna break the recording now, because what I'll do is I'll allow my own pieces to be public.